So we've been going over the confession of downfalls, and this text is very important because this is a pronouncement of the Lord Buddha. So this text, the Confession of Downfalls, has a commentary, and this commentary was written by the Exalted Wisdom Buddha, or Buddha Yeshe, was the name of the person who wrote this text, the author of the commentary. And he states that this text can be broken down into three sections and has three separate meanings. The first section being the confession of misdeeds, the actual confession itself. The second being dedication, because when one does confession of downfalls or acknowledges one's downfalls, a large amount of virtue is produced and accumulated. And since this is the case, then dedication is a very important aspect. So this is the second section of the commentary. And the third section is just a general condensed meaning of the scripture overall. So just a meaning of the words and a condensed and abbreviated format. So these are the three sections that Buddha Yeshe stated would explain the entire text, the Confession of Downfalls. So, since beginningless time, when we look at Confession of Downfalls and we look at downfalls themselves, downfalls are similar to breaking a law. We can compare it to this, because since beginningless time, we have taken on various types of vows, various types of the eight kinds of individual liberation vows. We've had fully ordained monks' vows. We've had fully ordained nuns' vows. We've been householders and held the male and female version of those vows. And since beginningless time, we've engaged in misdeeds and engaged in negative behaviors, which were would be a downfall relative to our vows. This is why it's necessary to engage in acknowledgement of these misdeeds or downfalls, because we have collected them beginninglessly. The negativities will ripen into suffering if we do not purify them. So it's necessary to engage in this confession or acknowledgement of downfalls in order to abandon or eradicate the causal factors for the suffering we do not wish to endure, because since beginningless time we have engaged in negativities and created downfalls.
tat wa da dibas dibas da tanu ma su diba ma go chu chu da diba ma go chu yo ro chu ma de ba ten an bu chu su de ten an bu chu de chim ba su gi je ne diba res da ba gi je ne diba res da ba le ten an bu chu je ba yi na diba da tu wa ni ga yu go res chim ba su diba yu go tu wa yu ma res lo yo ma res ma de ba.
And then there are the general misdeeds or non-virtues. And these we're referring to the 10 non-virtues, or the 10 non-virtuous activities. Because both monks, both the ordained and the lay, need to abstain from these negative actions. So both ordained and lay, and householders rather, need to abstain from the 10 non-virtuous activities. So these are in common, and these are general misdeeds, which are not downfalls of a particular downfalls of a particular vow, as previously stated.
Oji ta diba don tuan tu su shadon majiba ina ano ku ti jebu kashi tsendel dunga yungware kashi jiwa shamal dunga yungware kashi gitan jiwa shimishimashimishimal an dunga yungwayaji sozul kanga tegu smarga.
And these actions that we engage in have various potencies. Some will create a rebirth, some will affect us in this life, some will affect us in the very next life, and then some will affect us in many lives down the road or future lives.
Tene shin damuris, nyebu toji mege, and dedung sabun to kalikalikalikal nyun dojagoris.
So, by utilizing the four opponent powers, we have the ability to abandon these misdeeds and downfalls, or eradicate them, and their potential. The four opponent powers are very similar to fire that has the ability to burn away a seed's potential. Give rise to a sprout. Likewise, the four opponent powers serve as a fire to burn away the potential of our misdeeds and downfalls to ripen into an unpleasant experience. And by applying the four opponent powers relative to acknowledgement of downfalls or confession of downfalls, we can slowly make our afflictions smaller and smaller and smaller to the point where they are no longer there. So slowly, by applying this practice, we can slowly eradicate the affliction. So it happens gradually. The afflictions lessen and lessen.
What ne diba shabatil gwa yungres, diba shabal gwa yungu yuzan, and gwa to mwajia kishaburis. Mwamajiba yina naso and a banana tree in Dabris, banana tree in Debijima Jigmaris, tenea, cook mebachanus. Tenaji, gwa del in Debut Dwaji Yunsadu, and the gwa juzunuris. Sintian Tajik to Sanju Gubuntu Jumogina. And the Kadu Peju Jenna Zua may be doing with this. Devo Mogu with this, Marbe. Mago tree numbers. Mago tree every year, then Devo Yung with it.
So if we engage in an acknowledgement of our downfalls or confession of downfalls, then we accumulate a large amount of virtue. And since we're doing so, it's necessary to have a proper dedication. If we don't have a proper dedication, it's very similar to a banana tree. A banana tree produces its fruit and then and dies and does not produce fruit again for the next year. But if we dedicate our virtue, then that virtue becomes very similar to a mango tree that continuously produces fruit year after year and does not diminish, because an undedicated virtue or an undedicated positive activity that we engage in will be a virtue within our continuum, but it will go away very quickly. It will be disposed of quickly. But if we dedicate that virtue we've engaged in for the purpose of all sentient beings, then that becomes a virtue which does not disintegrate and becomes like the mango tree instead of the banana tree that perishes after one life. It has been stated by Buddha that the virtuous activity that we engage in, if it is properly dedicated, it will remain until we achieve the state of complete Buddhahood. Buddha has stated that it's similar to a small drop of water in the ocean. That small drop of water is not extinguished or does not disintegrate or dry up until the entire ocean dries up. Likewise, virtuous activities dedicated properly remain with us until we achieve Buddhahood. It has been stated by the Buddha that just like a drop of water in the ocean is not dry until the entire ocean is dry, likewise, positive virtuous activities properly dedicated do not disintegrate or leave until we achieve the state of enlightenment or enlightenment shanchu. So this is why the second section is dedication, and it's so important. The third section is a general abbreviated meaning of the confession of downfalls, or acknowledgement of downfalls, and general meaning of the acknowledgement of downfalls. And just translator's note, I'm using acknowledgement of downfalls sometimes. I know I'm mixing them up. I don't want anyone to be confused. For confession of downfalls, because I feel like the acknowledgement is more of a less loaded word and more literal. So, but I do switch back and forth because I'm used to using confession. So I just don't want anybody confused. So the four opponent powers are as follows, and we've gone over them many, many times before. And these four opponents are the opponents to downfalls and misdeeds. So the first being the power of the basis, the second being the refuting the lifestyle, or eradication, meaning regret. The third, applying remedies. And the fourth, power of commitment or restraint. And it also can be called turning away from faults if you're following it in the Lamrim Chemo. So again, I'll run the four, not necessarily in order, just the way I have them from Lamrim Chemo. The eradication, the power of applying remedies, turning away from faults, and the power of foundation. And that means foundation here refers to basis, turning away from faults refers to commitment to restraint, applying remedies refers to antidote, and eradication refers to regret. It's just more literally translated by the committee, so I want to use those words when possible.
So
please turn to the English text of the 35 Buddhas if you have it. Does anyone not have a copy of it? Okay, so when you turn to it, you see where it says, homage to the confession of the Bodhisattva downfalls. I, Jeff, throughout all times, take refuge in the Guru, take refuge in the Buddha, take refuge in the Dharma, take refuge in the Sangha. And here, this is the power of the foundation or power of basis when we're using the four opponents explanation. So here, this first section is the power of basis or power of foundation. So here it's very clear, because the power of basis has two sections, refuge and bodhicitta. The refuge is very clear in here, that it's there, but it's also necessary to go for go for the mind that aspires to enlightenment. So it's necessary to also inspire bodhicitta. Then shan samche depi ja
seje da debi
debi
debi jo nga chu chu gu sa ji ya sa ji yo ro wa seje da ji gu sa ji to ba sha wo nya sa lu de pe ji debi jo ndu na ma ba wo ti ji
then san lo ka de senchen tan che sanje go point to be san lo depi ja
Sentient Tanji, Devil. Sentient Tanji, Sanji, Sanji, Juro. Then they be Joro. They be Joro.
Less so.
It did the Buji.
Hakosan, they Tanji Joro.
That's Haji Tua Shawin of a song of the Devi Joro.
Okay, decent. Thank you. So it's very clear here that refuge is explained because it says, I go for refuge. But when we speak of refuge, there is causal refuge and resultant refuge. Causal refuge refers to the kind of refuge we go for to our Lama or to the Lord Buddha and so forth. This kind of going for refuge is the causal refuge. Resultant refuge is the actual result of the result, which is all sentient beings being in brought to a state of Buddhahood. So the thought of wishing to bring all sentient beings to a state of Buddhahood must fall into the category of the resultant refuge. So the resultant refuge actually is all sentient beings brought to a state of Buddhahood. But the thought to bring all sentient beings to a state of Buddhahood, which is called Mahayana mind generation, is the resultant refuge as well. So we can say that both the refuge and the mind that aspires to enlightenment are included because of causal and resultant refuge, bodhicitta being the latter, the resultant refuge. So when we think along these lines, both refuge and bodhicitta are contained, the refuge being much more clear and explicit.
Sanjay Sun Tsen.
Dode Samo La Demba. Domba Nila Mupa.
Domba Nila Gomba.
The Dapa La Demba.
Other.
The
Kazendo.
The Sum. Nene. Then Da Mambo Yere. The time play the NGK time chain line in Chimu.
The Mambo Yar, Mambo Nan, do the Samula Dembas the address, do the Samula Dembas. Sanji Sungi Gunishaba.
Less.
What do you worry, Marbet?
So, in the Lamrim Chemo, the Dru, you're right, Dru.
Oh, the Dru, no, no, do this on the name of the danger.
So, in the Lamrim Chemo, there are six. Okay, let me start from the beginning, because there's a whole lot. The second section is the power of relying on remedies or antidote. When we look in the great treatise on the stages of the path to enlightenment, we'll find six or eight different types of applying remedies. I'll run through them quickly. Dependence upon profound sutras, interest in emptiness, dependence upon recitation, dependence upon image, dependence upon offering, dependence upon names. So here there are six different dependences in the great treatise on the stages of the path to enlightenment. And it's very condensed and abbreviated, but it is implicitly stated in this 35 Buddhas, all of these different remedies. But here, what we're referring to is dependence upon profound sutras, because here the Dode Zama La Demba.
What the injury?
Dene Matsen La Demba.
Ah.
Sen La Demba, Yoma. Sen.
Sen Tatia Domanamanamamani, so to
speak. To Chinaruche. So, yes, this, I just had a question myself, I'm sorry. This particular scripture is, when we use it relative to the four opponent powers and utilize it relative to the second being the antidote or remedy. This becomes dependence upon profound sutras. And there are six dependences, or six different categories in the Great Treatise on the Stage of the Path to Enlightenment. So there are various different ways or, in which we can depend upon profound sutras, various different sutras in which we can depend upon, and this particular one is called the 35 Buddhas of Confession, the Sutra of the Three Heaps.
Anne Shaja Tuba Tul Che, Anne Sanji Sonju Sanga Nagal to Juba Santane, Tene, Jordan de Tisha Badajuma Yanta Bazu Sanji Pejo, Shaja Tuba La Chazelo, on the Chazelo Chazelo, what the Sanji Sonja Songa Euro, what Nebukun Jota, what it is, Songa La Chazelo. Songa Tangos Euro Matujige, Sanji Tangil Chazan Averis, Sanji Momuore, Sanji Sonju Sanga Sigma.
So, in the beginning of this text, it says, to the founder, Bhagavan Tathagata, Arhat, perfectly completed Buddha, glorious conqueror, Shakyamuni Buddha, I prostrate. So here, this particular line here should be stated with a visualization. So we should imagine or visualize that Buddha Shakyamuni is at the center, or at the main part of the picture, and surrounded by the 35 Buddhas. And we shouldn't just think 35 Buddhas, we can think of all the Buddhas. So if it's possible, we can think of all of the Buddhas, because Buddhas are not limited to that number 35. They are limitless. So we can imagine when we're making this homage that all of the Buddhas are there, but relative to this, we imagine that the root of the picture is Shakyamuni, surrounded by the 35 Buddhas. And then after that, we'll see more names. I prostrate, I prostrate, I prostrate. And this is the dependence upon profound sutras, and it falls into the second category of the power of antidote or applying remedies. So all of these names that we say and pay homage to fall into the category of applying antidotes or remedy. When we speak of homage or prostration, there are three types. There is physical, verbal, and mental. So first, when we are talking of physical prostration, there, this is the actual prostration that we do with our bodies. And there is a tantric prostration, vinayak prostration, and then also just bending down and paying homage in this manner is a physical homage or prostration as well. So this is what is meant by physical homage or physical prostration. Then Ngatsu Tsangla Dansi De Ama Paba, then Senchen Tamche, then Nyamdu Shat Segudu. When we're doing this physical homage or physical prostration, we should imagine that our parents, our father is maybe to the right, our mother is to the left, and all sentient beings are also with us as well, and that we are all simultaneously making these physical prostrations. So we should imagine that while we're making the physical homage, that all sentient beings, including obviously our mother and father who are to the right or the left of us, are doing this. We imagine that we ourselves are the chanting master, that are the, if anyone's unfamiliar, in the monastery there's a chanting master who leads all of the prayers. So we imagine that we're the prayer leader or the chanting master, and that we're reciting this 35 Buddhas, or confession of downfalls, for them, and we're the actual leader of this prayer. Verbal homage refers to just stating out loud to the founder, Bhagavan, Tathagata, Arhat, perfectly completed Buddha, glorious conqueror, Shakyamuni Buddha, I prostrate. So here, this is a verbal homage or verbal prostration. So mental prostration or mental homage refers to thinking of the excellent qualities, and by thinking of these excellent qualities, creating a faith or a reliance upon these objects of refuge. So by thinking of the excellent qualities of the Buddha and so forth, and then relying upon them and going for refuge, this is an actual mental homage or mental prostration.
Sag 사기 뒤 가서 요나 수수고 려대야 되나 요냐 봐 신도 뭐뭐 뭐뭐 산다네 되네 된데게 려들라 고 뭐뭐 고를라 제 뭐뭐 배저와 샤자도 발라 샤자 라운드 안에 샤자 디 치드 뭐뭐 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 야오도 산이
임바다 So when we think what we should be thinking about while we're making this actual prostration is that we imagine that as when the ground below us there are, if we imagine how many atoms there are and we imagine on each atom there is someone paying physical homage on each atom we are paying physical homage so we imagine that as many atoms there are as there many atoms as there are we have that many bodies and we imagine that those bodies have hundreds of thousands of heads and hundreds of thousands of mouths and many different kinds of mouths and we imagine that the words themselves are coming out of these vast numbers of beings which are ourselves and we imagine that all of these are multiplied we imagine that as many atoms as there are bodies, and we imagine that these bodies have limitless numbers of heads and mouths and so forth, and doing limitless prayers and limitless homage. So then we imagine that simultaneously all of these bodies which are limitless and are numbered as there are as many bodies as there are atoms we imagine that simultaneously all of these bodies or emanations of ourselves are paying physical verbal and mental homage simultaneously so if we can think about this we will be able to accumulate a large amount of virtue. So if one body, if paying homage with one body, imagine how much virtue 100,000 bodies paying homage would create. So, if our motivation is proper, if we have a gulung zampo, if we have good motivation, and then we just pay the homage in the way we previously stated and make the prayer to the founder, Bhagavan, Tathagata, Arhat, perfectly completed Buddha, glorious conqueror, Shakyamuni Buddha, I prostrate or I pay homage just by stating this, we can accumulate or we can eradicate negativities we've created for 10,000 eons and sometimes 20,000 eons, etc. So we have... this is Rinpoche's saying all this. We have all in the English, in the English section, we have all of the explanation of the numbers of eons that are purified, and we previously went over them. So we can refer back to what we previously stated. The Sanjay Tamchet Sanlodan Tuna Pentung.
Shatsewa Yina, Penchigurwas.
So if we can, and when we're doing this homage, and we're saying to the glorious conqueror Shakyamuni Buddha, I prostrate, when we're paying this homage, if we can think of all Buddhas, then it will be of more benefit.
Aggregates,
death, affliction.
Chedagi du. Nyomobi du. Laibi.
Jewa.
Du jiris. Pombi du de Karasena Tanangazo. And Pombi du de.
Pombo. Pombo.
Sansara Pombojiro. Pombi du. Pombi du. Sansara Pombojiloa. What the Pombi du is.
That's it. Then the je de Nyomo dang shita.
Nyomobi du na delusion ro delusion. Delusion de Nyomobi du skres.
Chi. Pombo. Pombi du.
Pombi du je.
Shita.
Then Chedagi du chewa. De.
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 De. De. De. De. De. De. De. De. De. De.
Haibe du se na pa na du gara wangshu la soba. Kasu mara se ya la doja tenu yu rwa.
La se.
Du se mara pa. Du mara la rwa. Otu haibe du se re.
Lai du.
Haibe du.
God. Mara. God mara. La du.
Laibe du. Chanju dan. Tsangba dan wada shiribu la du se yi.
Okay. So here when we look at the etymology of these words, when we look at the homage to, to the founder, Bhagavan Tathagata, Arhat, perfectly completed Buddha, glorious conqueror, Shakyamuni Buddha. When we look at Jom Dende, conqueror, what are we speaking of conquering? What is to be conquered? And here we're referring to the four Maras that need to be conquered. The Mara of affliction, the Mara of death, the Mara of aggregates, and the Mara of gods. And that last one, translation, that's the literal words that Rinpoche said. So we can refer back to it. And the only one that was explained was aggregates here refers to the the aggregates that we have in cyclic existence. So this type of aggregate, this contaminated samsaric aggregate, is the Mara aggregate that we're speaking of. So these four Maras are what these four Maras need to be overcome in order to achieve the state of Buddhahood. So this is what conqueror refers to, and this is what is conquered.
Lun data tomate, rana to sunshas, jejandio, jejabe, ayandi, jejabe, gozo, lun data tomate, tadana to sunshas. Matu lute, matu dandamores. Dakanerisena, lute yobalatene, and then matu dungage dungayuare, ju dungayuare, chaban dujiji dungayuares, tīn sōsā, anā ngā rū tsū lūyé tē, ngā rū tsū dāndā kōrē hēs, ngā rū bē.
Lōng, dē ngā mā tōn sōn, dē lōng kāli kāli lā rō
lā. Āyā dē, jī
jāpa. Yēnē dē...
Lūyé nā dā tē tōn mē jāngs. Lūyé tē, ngā rū tsū lūyé tē, ngā rū tsū dāndā kōrē hēs.
Yēnē, lōng.
Lūyé nā dā tē tōn mē jāngs. Yēnā yā, anā dā rē sē nā tēndē kārā sō kōrē. Nē lūyé lū dōjā tēndē jē jūyā mā rē, lūyé tē yā bā jē kōrē, pēn sā. Ani lued dabu yunga ka tashi je kuris. Lued jun rima naba yina, ani nga su lued la tene gawa ma wudut kuris. Maribay. Shu jini nga su danda kuris. Lued yue zang, nga su lu dungan yunga yuwaare, juu yu dungan yunga yuwaare, chaban duji ji dungan yunga yuwaare, chika nachi dungan yunga yuwaare.
So, if we look at Arya Deva's 400 verses in the text, it states that in some ways, this body that we've achieved seems like our enemy because it's in dependence upon this body. It seems in some ways that this body is like our enemy. That's the end of the quote for there. There's more of it. So in independence upon this body, all the different types of suffering occurs. Because we have this body, we have the suffering, the suffering of change, and the pervasive compounded suffering. All of these things come about are dependent upon, all these types of suffering are dependent upon this body. So in some ways it seems like the body is our enemy. But if we look further, we can see that it is our greatest asset, because also in dependence upon this body, we can engage in the method, and the method being the method to liberation, etc. The method to achieve our aims. So it's, in one way it's like our enemy, but in another way, it's our greatest asset. And this has been stated in Arya Deva's 400 verses.
What the Pompey do the Matsu Sansara Pompote, Pompey do Rabaris, Pompey do the Rabaji the Tower New Waters, Pompey do New Waters, Tarani Rabate Matsu Sansara Pompote, Pompey do Rabaris. That Dajon was to lay on Sansara Mayimbe Pompey Waters, Timmy Dajon's. What the Pompey du Tamar is, Marbe?
Ale. Teme dajum Pompey du Yure. The decent. Then, when we speak of the four Maras, and we speak of the section on the aggregates, Mara, which is an aggregate, or Mara aggregates, when we speak of these, there is coarse and subtle. So, Mara aggregates are coarse and subtle. The coarse aggregates are the aggregates that the regular body, the five aggregates that are exposed and that the pumbonga, dan susujui, the pumbo. So cyclical aggregates fall into the category of the coarse Mara aggregates. So cyclical aggregates fall into the category of coarse Mara aggregates. The more subtle Mara aggregate is the Mara aggregates that a Hinayana foe destroyer has. So a Hinayana foe destroyer has the more subtle kind of Mara aggregate.
Well, kuzu bomba de kuyu bomba da mare de yine kuzu de ya sanje ge bomba da mare so kuzu yan she go re yan gar so re ye lu so wa de ge bomba du tamre du tam
yan je she go de
ku she ya re
yan je
sa ba len re je ko na je do ge de no yo ma re so
ale sarpa re sarpa so the Hinayana foe destroyer or the lesser vehicle for foe destroyer does not have the cyclical afflictions, does not have the cyclical afflicted Maric aggregates. So this Hinayana foe destroyer does not have that, but they have the more subtle Mara aggregates because they have to take on birth again and again and again. It's not a contaminated samsaric birth that they're taking on, but they still have to take on a birth, and this is the category of subtle Mara aggregates. The Buddha has eradicated or abandoned both the coarse and subtle Mara aggregates. Control,
Nanjo.
Okay. So the when we look at affliction, Mara afflict, I don't know how to exactly translate this. Literal is Mara affliction, we'll call it. If we look at Mara affliction, this has two categories as well, coarse and subtle. So the Mara affliction, if it is an affliction, it is necessarily a coarse affliction. So when we speak of afflictions, and again, these words are a little loaded in English, but it's literal. So anger and attachment, these sorts of things, that these types of negative emotions we experience fall into the category of coarse Mara afflictions. The subtle Mara afflictions are the obstructions to omniscience, which are the imprints of the afflictive obstructions. So these fall into the category of the subtle Mara afflictions.
So
both, the Buddha has abandoned or eradicated both the coarse Mara afflictions and the subtle Mara afflictions.
Mm-hmm.
Drapa dang tramo.
Tram ni war chedag du le da nyom bo ang chewa de chedag du rabar es kwal ko de ga da du ma lo le da nyom bo ang chewa ra ma ba chewa de le chedag du rabar es
ne
ta de ne teme da jung ba du su ne ko ap mo tharo wa teme da jung ba du le chewa ju ro wa wo de
So the death Mara also has two categories, coarse and subtle. The coarse is the type of death that in cyclic existence that is experienced again and again, that is brought on by action and afflictions, or by karma and afflictions. And this is a death that one is not free or independent from. No one has independence from this type of death. And this is the coarse death Mara, or the coarse coarse death Mara. So this is the type of death that is regularly experienced in cyclic existence. The more subtle death Mara refers to the lesser vehicle or Hinayana foe destroyers, non-cyclic, non-samsaric passing or death. So that this is the more subtle category of Maric death, and it is the Hinayana foe destroyer, or Hinayanist's experience of it, which is not samsaric. I just want to be clear on that. Rinpoche repeated that multiple times. The Buddha has abandoned both the coarse and subtle Maric death. And God Mara has two coarse and subtle
spirit Mara.
So when we speak of God Maras, this is non-Buddhist gods we're referring to, such as Brahma, Shiva, Shivanchu. Brahma, Shiva, non-Buddhist gods. Any non-Buddhist gods fall into the category of God Mara. Mara, just for anybody who's following English, translates as enemy a lot of times in English. Mara is a Sanskrit word. Da, the sansa mara, the da, sik chik, pecha chegulu.
tātene lāi bē dū chāmad kārēsā nā, ane nyōngbō bē dū tāng, pōngbī dū tāng, ane chidā gā dū chōngbā lā pādu chō bē chātē, pādu chō bā tē, lāi bē dū chāmad kārēsā.
Chidā? Lūtā
chidā? Chidā gā dū, pōngbī dū, nyōngbō bē dū
chōngbā lā. Yīne chāmu kārē.
Tā pōngbā lā pādu chō jī, kādā kīntā lā, lāi bē dū chāmad kārēsā, lāi bē dū chāmad
kārēsā. Tamche sabu, yine de de sabu mai de la de tramo
tramo yo mo be du pombi du chedag du tombala ane pache ju or pache
obstruction
what the type with the tramo
so the most when we speak of the most subtle god mara when we look at the affliction mara the death mara and the aggregates mara, when all of those are gone and there's still an obstacle or an obstruction, that is the God mara in its most subtle point. So when we speak of the afflictions and obstructions and so forth, and we look at a place beyond these other three and beyond the core state, the most subtle kind is this God mara. The Buddha has abandoned all four types of maras or enemies. So this is what the conqueror refers to here. What conqueror refers to and what has been conquered. So when we speak of conquering, we need to know these four meanings of conqueror. What is these four objects of the conqueror? English. I know if the Guide to Tibetan Buddhism is over there, it's in it. I don't know if
it's in it.
So if one was going to use a debate format, you would say the subject Shakyamuni is a conqueror. This is the way you would debate. Is the subject Shakyamuni a conqueror? Yes, the subject Shakyamuni is a conqueror because he or she has conquered the five maras. Four maras, rather. I'm sorry. So you see Chuchen Sewada, you see the subject, the statement about the subject, or the thesis statement, and then the sign that supports the statement.
Mm-hmm. Goje dan den, eje nga dan den ba yin dan den ba res, chung den.
Goje.
Goje. Po kaya, riba.
Four bodies. Goje.
Eje nga.
Yeshe nga. Five wisdoms. Goje, yeshe, yeshe nga.
Goje, eje nga dan den ba yin dan den ba res, den ba.
So in the, hold on, I need it. When it says perfectly completed Buddha, this refers to the completing or the gathering of all of the four different bodies and the five wisdoms, five exalted wisdoms and so forth. So here, that's what it refers to when it says Jomden De, Jomden,
Jomden.
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 Glorious. To be honest with you, I think it's the glorious.
Dance at this one. Cojitan temba. Ishigata temba. Chonsana, duji chumba. Dance na, cojitan temba. Ishigata temba. Yita, den.
Lassa. Yamche lassa.
Yeah, yeah.
The name?
Chonden de what the coji ala logon of coji, Ishichoko, Moni, Golongo, Jitan temba, Yita, dembas, Marbe.
So when we speak of the four bodies, the four completed, that's correct. When we speak of these four bodies of a Buddha, what are we speaking of? We're speaking of the yes the chuku longku chuku yene chuku ni. Okay, so the two when we're speaking of four bodies of a Buddha, we're speaking of the two truth bodies, the exalted wisdom body and the nature body. the enjoyment body, and the emanation body. These are the four. So these are the four that have been achieved. These are the four that have been completed. The exalted truth body. Yeshe Chukwu. The exalted wisdom truth body. And then they don't usually say truth body. They just say exalted wisdom body and the nature body. So those are the two. Exalted wisdom and the nature. Or natural, they use sometimes. So the exalted wisdom truth body is the omniscience of the Buddha, and the nature truth body is the cessation of suffering in the continuum of the Buddha, the Goden. So the other two are the enjoyment body and the emanation body. And it are these four bodies that have been completed. So this is what we're speaking of when we're speaking of the completed, what has been completed. These four things have been gathered. What are the five exalted wisdoms? There are five types of afflictions. There are the three poisons, which are attachment, aversion, and delusion or ignorance. And then the we love categories. So the first one has two in the category, pride and greed. That falls into one category, and the last being jealousy, making a total of five afflictions. So attachment, aversion, ignorance, a category which contains pride and greed, and then jealousy. This is all new for me. I just want to make sure it's right. So, control pambi yeshe. So, the exalted wisdom which abandons anger is called the exalted wisdom of the nature. And of the nature here, we're speaking, nature here refers to emptiness in some ways. It's similar to emptiness, Rinpoche said. So, chunyi. Said I can even just use the word emptiness. So it's of the nature, and this refers to emptiness. So wisdom of the nature, and this is what abandons or control pambi yeshe, the wisdom that abandons anger. Similar to a mirror. Reflection. So the next is the wisdom that's like a reflection or a reflective wisdom. Or Rinpoche said it's like a mirror. wisdom that's like a mirror. And this is the wisdom which abandons the dimu, delusion or ignorance. Susu individual,
susu tuba is guan di injiro, that in Sanjay Chamber, the Jebuta, Kangalo, susu susu shigro, Jebuta, Mata, Lada Kangalo, the Merin, the Lari, susu susu shigro.
Differentiation. So the wisdom of exalted wisdom of differentiation. So differentiation is like because a Buddha is omniscient, Buddha can differentiate between this is Jeff, this is a god, this is that. So this is called differentiation, exalted wisdom of differentiation. And this is the third one. And this is the wisdom that abandons attachment. So, individual differentiation. We're going to get the exact name of these five, I promise, but it's all new information I've never seen before, so it needs to be played with English.
Neutral.
So the next is the even exalted wisdom. And here, even is non-discriminatory. Non-discriminatory, I think, is a literal. Non-discriminatory exalted wisdom. And here, this is greed and pride. The exalted wisdom that abandons greed and pride. So this is
Activities, action, okay.
Exalted wisdom of activities. This is
served.
So there are body speech, activities of the body, speech, and mind. Activities. So the exalted activities, let me try this again. This is the wisdom that abandons the jealousy, which is the fifth type of wisdom, and this is the shawa, activities, the wisdom of activities. That's literal. The wisdom of exalted wisdom of activities, and this refers to making offerings, all the different activities that can be engaged in. This type of wisdom serves as an opponent to jealousy. The Chupa Budang, Shatse, offerings, and many different kinds of activities. The ability to engage in many types of activities in a positive sense. Because of the all-knowing nature, it has the ability to engage in many activities. Chen,
all-knowing nature.
Chipa. So in the Yamantaka Tantra, we see that there are the five deaths to overcome.
By God.
But it's five.
To overcome.
The negativities are gods to overcome, and there are the five that are very similar to this, and those being the five to overcome, the five being attachment, aversion, delusion, pride and greed, and jealousy. So the subject is the subject. Is the subject 35 Buddhas? Well, it would be that doesn't work in English at all. Are the subjects 35 Buddhas conquerors? And the answer is yes. The 35 Buddhas are conquerors because they have conquered the four Maras. If one has conquered, then one is a conqueror. What has Shakyamuni conquered? The four Maras.
That 35 Buddha.
Or you can say 35 Buddhas, it's the same. So is the Buddha completed? Has the Buddha completed? Answer is yes. The Buddha has gathered the five exalted wisdoms. Has the five exalted wisdoms? Kabudu gangin sa njike yomar sandrike. Lamzopa sandrike kuche shigudu. So here, you don't have it, I don't think, in the English. They use the Sanskrit, so that's why we're going slowly here. Tathagata here, I believe, refers to the one thus gone. And one thus gone refers to all of the Buddhas that have previously come and become enlightened or become Buddhist. So the one thus gone, ones thus gone, refers to those beings. And that, I believe, is Tathagata in Sanskrit.
And
has thus gone and completed where beyond cyclic existence. So has gone beyond cyclic existence. So that is, I thought you were waving to me. This is a being who has gone beyond the clutches of cyclic existence.
That drajumba is a drajumba. Drakar. Drajumba what it is. Nyumba chumba yinsa.
So here, what is arhat? Arhat is Sanskrit again. The English is foe destroyer. So da jumba, da is enemy or foe, jumba is destroyer. What is one destroying? Da jumba, da nyomo. So here the enemy refers to afflictions. So the destroyer of afflictions, the Gangin Senekonso, the Injike Yomare, the Lama Zopa Sandrake Trigudu, Arhat, Tathagata.
What that Jonden did, the Jinshiba Jonden, Jonsana, Duji Jumba, Denzana, Kojeta, Ishingata Demba, Jonden, De, Kuatan Yangalin Deba, Numoba, the Shiji Deba Bumba Yita, Kuatan, Shiji Bumba Yita, Yangalin Deba,
less so.
Less so.
So here we see to the founder, Bhagavan, Tathagata, Arhat, I'm just reading it again, perfectly completed Buddha, glorious conqueror, Shakyamuni. What has Shakyamuni conquered? Why is he called a conqueror? He has conquered the four Maras, and what has been completed, the completions are the five knowledges and the four bodies have been completed, and they have been perfectly completed because they have gone beyond cyclic existence. So they have been perfectly completed, and because perfectly completed refers to the abandonment of cyclic existence. So when we speak of enlightenment, or we speak of nirvana that one achieves relative to the word one thus gone, where has one gone to nirvana? There are two types of nirvana. There is the Hinayana nirvana, and there is the Mahayana nirvana. And the Mahayana nirvana, or the Mahayana enlightenment, is created by abandoning both the afflictive obstructions and the obstructions to omniscience, whereas the lesser vehicle, or Hinayana enlightenment, is achieved by abandoning the afflictive obstructions alone. So here, when we're speaking of thus gone, and we're speaking of these perfectly completed Buddhas, glorious conqueror, all of these words, and if we break down the etymology of these words, they have more meaning. So when speaking of the Confession of Downfalls, 35 Buddha, we also can mention the seven limb prayer. And we can think about this while we're doing it. We can see that the first of the seven limb prayer is the homage or prostration, and the second is offering. These first two sections of the seven limb prayer are clearly are explicitly pronounced in this particular scripture. Implicit. Okay. So when we look at this text relative to the seven limb prayer, we can see that explicitly it's clear that we're speaking of homage and so forth. But because we're speaking of homage and prostration, implicitly it must mean there is also offering as well. Because, for instance, if there was somebody who's very fat and they don't eat any lunch, we must assume that they eat dinner as dinner, or they eat at another time in order to become so large. Likewise, we must assume that there is implicitly offering as well in here because we're paying homage. Implicit.
Punza Seate, Pergitul Jubaina, Nebal Gors, Neba. Sanje to nyeba jongsong na, tete bhai buddha gabu jongsong na, chöba res. Tete bhai buddha gabu jongsong na, tete bhai buddha chöba res. Chöba. Banda siyate, nyeba lukho res. Like, sanje gabu jongsong na, banda res, chöba res. Sanje le sha tse na, sanje gabu yungu res. Sanje le chöba res. What the gogo yonro?
So when we look at the etymology of the Sanskrit word, and I apologize, I really don't know Sanskrit. So if we look at the etymology of the Sanskrit word for offering, it's punza. And punza, here, when we break it down and we look at Tibetan language relative to that word in its literal sense, it literally comes off as engaging in things which the holy beings enjoy or like. So this is rough. So it's something that delights the holy ones. So here when we speak of delighting the holy ones or doing something that they like, we can say that making a prostration would fall also into the category of offering. Because if offering is literally defined by that, by doing, engaging in what the holy beings enjoy or like, then we can say that making a prostration would be this as well, and it would fall into the category of this. So basically, in short, the Sanskrit for offering is punza. When you look at the Sanskrit literally and use the Tibetan language, it becomes that which delights the holy ones or the holy ones like. And if we use that logic, then we can say that making a prostration or engaging in positive activities delight the holy one, so also must be offering. Tam che lap sar sabudu.
Wa ta ta sanje songa le shase ge ina phyo mo bu song was ke ba ti de ba ta gar ye ti de ba ta gar wa ta ge phyo mo mo was phyo ta be go ne an ne sanje songa le shase wa de mo mo de ge ni ha bu was pe jo sha ja tu ba la shase lo te kora mo bu jo ne
So if we look at the benefits of doing the 35 Buddhas of Confessions or the Confession of Downfalls, we can see that sometimes it's 10,000 eons, 20,000 eons of negative karma or misdeeds that can be eradicated. So we should do this again and again and again, not just one time, which is, it's called Korajap, circling it, doing it again and again and again. And we will be able to gain the benefits in a slower fashion. We'll be able to obtain the benefits slowly. So we should do this again and again and engage in the recitation of this prayer as much as possible because of its immense benefits. So the way that it's a positive way to do this, a good way that I do this, is to go through the 35 Buddhas in its entirety three times. And then you would go on to the other sections of the power of restraint, the power of regret, power of antidote, and so forth. Actually, the power of power of restraint and power of regret. So go through it three times, and then you can do the dedications and move on to the other bases of the four opponent powers. And what I was asking Rinpoche is, in some commentaries, it says to say the name of the Buddha three times, and then move on to the next and say it three times. And I asked Rinpoche, because I wasn't clear if he was saying to do the whole text three times or to do each line three times. And Rinpoche said either way is positive. So if you're familiar with doing it that way, that's also a positive way to do it. Either way you can do it, whether it's the whole text three times or once you get to the Hamid section of each Buddha, do that three times each. Yeah, my brother really, or my relative really liked doing prostrations. But he didn't have such, was kind of not so smart, dumb.
And
I said to him, you do so many prostrations, pay so much homage, you should use this text, 35 Buddhas, in union with your practice, it would be better. This is then, if you can say it, say this prayer with your mouth, and then physically make the prostrations, it's very good. So just by saying to the founder, the Bhagavan, the fully completed, the first line, to the founder, the Bhagavan, the fully completed Buddha, conqueror, Shakyamuni, I'll say the whole thing right, to the founder, Bhagavan, Tathagata, Arhat, fully completed Buddha, glorious conqueror, Shakyamuni Buddha, I prostrate. By saying that one time, if we can eradicate 10,000 eons or kalpas of negativity, by saying it twice, 20,000, by saying it three times, 30,000, so we can see how expansive this is.
Okay.
You have a question?
It also says something about saying the names as many times as you can while making the prostration.
The Lamas of Rinpoche, Sumpre, the Shatsa Chik, the Sanjay Gitseng, the Mambo La Tuna, the Abudu, then the Shatsa Chik, then Shachitubalashasilo, then the Kandun Chena, the Tamche La Kichampre, Dejan Chepa, Dajamba, Yandaba, Zobe Sanjay, Shachatuba, the Tamche Lago, Shachitubalashasil, Shachitubalashasil, Jubu Jubu Dro, Gari Akshu. It's similar, it doesn't matter, Rinpoche said. And I asked him, should you say the whole thing or just the name? And Rinpoche said that it's similar, it doesn't matter. And just translator's note, if you look in Liberation or Lam Rim Chemo, I'm not sure, the reason is given for saying the whole thing, Dejan Shepa and so forth, because Lama Tsongkhapa did it period of time and they had no heads. So all the Buddhas, when the visualization came to fruition, had no heads. So this is the reason that it was stated to say all the full name. And if you can think of the meaning of each of the words, the true meaning of what you're doing, then this will be of the most benefit. If you say to the one thus gone, what is thus gone? Where did they go? Who is gone? Then to the conqueror, what has been conquered? Etc. If you know what the meanings of these are, then the meaning of your homage is more vast. So once we finish this explanation of confession of downfalls, if we all have an understanding, then this will be very good. And slowly we'll be able to do this.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll do dedication. Today is a holiday, no?
Yeah.
Not for me. I think a lot of people work today, don't they? Probably. Just tell me they do. Makes me feel better. So we'll begin with the concluding mandala offering. We're going to go through it all in Tibetan. And again, just be aware of the Rinpoche's eating at noon is very important. Just be mindful of that as we move to the end. Da jin bo ni yu. Dagi jini sambingi wani Nenan ruwa ngunlak ngambin bang Jibar jutsu nuzan ramayi Tenbi Nam Guru Radha Mandala Gamni Radha Yami Nyame Bhavu Njita Jinpa Nam Gondu Sambo Deyan Deyin Dey Nita Kunji Jesu Dalo Shia Gewa Dita Tanchi Shirtu Ngo Nusum Shibe Nyewa Tanchi Nyi Owa Gala Chotu Ngapa De Da Jen Kiwi Tsawa De Kongja Sampo Chuchira Tu Ngowa Nyi Amri Rawe God.